They say the quiet ones are the most dangerous, and I've always been quiet, soft-spoken, agreeable, invisible if I choose to be. That's my gift. Because people underestimate what they can't hear. They assume silence is submission. They confuse politeness for purity. But silence is a space, and I fill it with whispers. I don't scream. I don't shout. I suggest. A word here, a nudge there. At the book club, during school pickups, in texts sent at just the right time, a whisper to a friend that her husband seems distracted. A suggestion to my neighbor that maybe she should check her nanny cams. I don't tell lies. I ask questions. I stir thoughts, and I watch the implosions unfold. Slow, delicious chaos wrapped in suburban perfection. Until someone whispers back. Because in the town of Willow Ridge, reputations are currency, and secrets are weaponized. I built my kingdom with rumors. But when one of my targets doesn't just fall, she fights back. Everything I've constructed begins to shatter. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. A Beautiful Broken Mirror. My name is Celeste Camden, and from the outside, my life looks like a Pinterest board come to life. White hydrangeas blooming beside a manicured lawn, a pale gray SUV I don't actually like, but knew would make my in-laws jealous, and a charming husband named Ryan with a trust fund that pays for things he calls my dreams. We live in Ridge Heights, one of those gated communities where everyone smiles just a little too hard, and nothing ever happens without someone noticing. But inside, I am a symphony of silence, of calculation. I didn't always whisper. There was a time I screamed, cried, begged. When I was young, loud meant weak. Loud meant broken. But I learned. Oh, I learned. People don't listen to screams. They lean in for whispers. I was sitting at the Willow Ridge PTA meeting when I first decided to unspool the next thread. Ava Beaumont sat across from me, sipping her sugar-free vanilla latte like she owned the room. Her daughter, Elle, had just won Student of the Year, and Ava was glowing from it like she'd been crowned suburban royalty. I smiled sweetly, then tilted my head toward Lila, the mum beside me. Did you hear Ava's husband is sleeping in the guest room? I said it like I didn't mean it. Like I was surprised. Like I didn't rehearse that sentence in the mirror that morning. Lila blinked. Really? No. Wait. Who told you that? I gave a soft shrug. Oh, no one. It's probably nothing. She just looked tired. Tired. The most dangerous word you can use against a woman. It implies decay, that she's slipping. By the next school pickup, Ava's smile was smaller, her makeup thicker. And Lila, she was staring at Ava's husband like he was wearing a scarlet letter. All it took was one whisper. The thing is, I don't ruin people for fun. I ruin them because they started it. Maybe they looked at me like I was less. Maybe they flirted with Ryan at a dinner party, or maybe they simply didn't include me in their little yoga retreat. Whatever the reason, it's always justified. I'm not a villain, I'm balance, I'm order. At least that's what I told myself until Natalie moved in. Natalie Rivera was younger than the rest of us. Barely 30, childless, newly married, and all golden skin and confident strides. The kind of woman who doesn't ask permission to speak, who calls your husband by his first name without blinking. She arrived in a white linen dress like some breezy goddess, and within a week, every man in the HOA was talking about her. I watched her from behind my hydrangeas. Then I watched her talking to Ryan. Then I whispered. I just worry about Natalie, I murmured to Sarah, my friend since college, as we pretended to browse candles at the Home Goods near Town Square. She seems restless and married so fast. Do you think she was really in love? Or was she running from something? Sarah narrowed her eyes. Like what? I looked down at the lavender-scented pillar candle in my hand and said nothing. That's the trick. Let them write the ending themselves. But Natalie didn't crumble like the others. She smiled more, flirted more. She joined the HOA social committee. She posted TikToks of herself in a bikini captioned Sunday Self-Care and got 40,000 views. And then, she whispered back, It started with Ryan. I ran into Natalie today, he said one evening as he sliced into his steak. She asked how we met. Funny, right? I gave a cool smile. Why funny? She said I seemed too normal for someone like you. I blinked. What does that mean? She didn't say. But it burned. Because I didn't give her that script. She had her own lines, her own agenda. That was not the plan. Then came the texts. You seem so stressed lately, Celeste, just checking in. Natalie, if you ever want to talk, I'm here. Heard the oddest rumor about you today. Wild what people say, huh? I didn't respond. I stared at the screen and felt my breath tighten. No one had ever gotten close to me before. No one ever whispered back. But Natalie was whispering. And worse, people were listening. Chapter 2. The Echo Effect. It wasn't just the texts. It was the way people started looking at me. At first, it was subtle. A second too long of eye contact. A smile that didn't reach the eyes. Then came the silences. The unnatural pauses during school drop-offs. The way the other wives suddenly became too busy for coffee. Even Lila, my most loyal gossip courier, had started keeping to herself. Natalie had poisoned the air. And I couldn't trace it. Couldn't hear what she was saying. She wasn't whispering to me. She was whispering to them. Which made it worse. I tried countermeasures. A carefully staged conversation with Sarah at the local cafe. Loud enough for the right ears. I just don't trust women who don't have female friends, I said, as I stirred my almond milk latte. It's always a red flag. Sarah gave a nervous laugh. You mean Natalie? I mean women who think men are easier to manipulate because they're too lazy to notice. That landed. I saw two heads turn. By Tuesday, Natalie posted a cryptic story. A snake sheds its skin when it outgrows the old one. Some of you still slither in yours. No tags, no names. But everyone in Ridge Heights knew that was aimed at someone. I had become someone. My whispers had always traveled downward. Quiet, cutting, invisible. But Natalie had turned my own weapon sideways, and worse, she was charming while doing it. She played the golden girl with a sly smile and that signature laugh like wind chimes in a storm. She wasn't crumbling. She was thriving. And I was seething. Ryan noticed the shift. He had started spending more time at the gym. Not the one in the basement. The upscale fitness club in town. Networking, he said. When he left his phone unlocked one night, I didn't go looking for proof. I went looking for motive. What I found wasn't just texts from Natalie, it was pictures. Harmless enough, her on a yoga mat, post-workout selfies, an artsy shot of her sipping a smoothie on a balcony with the caption, "Some things taste better after a little sweat." He hadn't replied, but he hadn't deleted them either. That's when I knew this wasn't about attention, it was about power. And I wasn't about to lose mine. I made my next move on Thursday. Natalie and her husband Jake were hosting a wine and cheese mixer for the HOA. I brought a bottle of red so expensive it practically glowed, wore a black off-the-shoulder cocktail dress, and leaned into every stereotype they thought I had grown out of. Natalie answered the door barefoot and beaming. Celeste, she chirped, her teeth weaponized with perfection. You look sharp. Thanks, I said. I thought I'd dress for war. She laughed like it was a joke. It wasn't. The party was a performance. Everyone pretended to care about Gouda and housing ordinances, but I was watching the room like a hawk, tracking who was orbiting Natalie, who whispered to whom, who looked at me, then away. And then I struck. Jake, her husband, was charming. The oblivious kind of attractive that made you wonder if he even realized women flirted with him. We stood near the fireplace, sipping red wine when I leaned in, just a little too close, and said, "You ever wonder how she really feels about you?" He blinked. "Who?" "Natalie. She flirts a lot, doesn't she? Just something I noticed. I'm sure it's nothing." Jake's lips parted, but no words came. I didn't wait for them. I smiled and walked away. By Sunday morning, Natalie's Instagram was unusually quiet. By Monday, Jake showed up late to the HOA budget meeting, eyes bloodshot, And on Tuesday, Sarah finally called me. "I heard Natalie and Jake had a fight," she whispered. "Oh," I replied, stirring oatmeal at my kitchen counter like I hadn't planted the fuse. "Apparently someone told Jake she was being inappropriate with a few husbands." "Really?" I said, letting the silence stretch. "Who would say something like that?" Sarah paused. "Celeste, did you?" I let out the softest laugh. "Sarah, if I went around telling people what I think, this place would have burned down years ago." But Natalie didn't crumble. She retaliated. "The email arrived anonymously, sent to the Ridge Heights HOA mailing list. Subject line: Behind the curtain. Who is Celeste Camden? Really?" The body of the email contained screenshots, posts from 10 years ago, forums, threads, usernames, Celestial Sun 13, old rants about depression, links to a now-deleted blog where I wrote about feeling trapped in my marriage. One post even mentioned a former job I was fired from for inappropriate conduct, never proven, never public. Someone had dug, and everyone in that neighborhood read it. I knew because the silence the next day wasn't just heavy, it was suffocating. Ryan confronted me that night. "Celeste, what is this?" He held up his phone like it had my fingerprints on it. "That's my past," I said steady. 10 years ago, before you." He looked disgusted. Not because I lied, but because I hadn't told him. "You manipulated everyone here," he said, "including me." "Ryan," I whispered, "they made me invisible. I just refused to disappear." He didn't speak, just walked away. Natalie had flipped the script, and for the first time in years, I wasn't the author. I watched Natalie walk her dog the next morning. Sunglasses, flawless ponytail, her lips curved into that smug little smirk. She looked up at my window and waved. Chapter 3, The Silence That Screams. I've always believed there's more power in a whisper than a shout, but there's something even more dangerous. Something Natalie understood far better than I realized. Silence. Silence is its own kind of scream. A courtroom with no judge. A stage with no audience. A prison without walls. And for the past week, I'd been locked inside one of Natalie's making. People avoided me. Ryan slept on the couch. Sarah hadn't returned my texts. Even my Instagram stories, once flooded with fire emojis and fake praise, now sat dry as sand. The community I'd controlled with careful murmurs had gone deaf to my voice. Natalie hadn't just retaliated, she'd erased me. Still, I had one rule left. Never beg. Never apologize. Never let them see you bleed. I spent Tuesday afternoon crafting a post, a black and white photo of me and Ryan from 5 years ago, one of those golden hour shots that makes everything look more honest than it really is. My caption: "Sometimes people forget that pain has a past, but some of us fought our way here, and we aren't going anywhere." It was bait. A silent scream, and they bit. Hearts, comments, sympathy. But no one from the neighborhood. Except Natalie. She DM'd me 3 words. "Let it go." That was when I knew. This wasn't about power anymore. This was personal. She didn't want control. She wanted to kill my name. Wednesday, I went to her. I didn't call. I didn't text. I walked straight to her house in a white trench coat, black gloves, no makeup. Not a costume. A war uniform. She opened the door like she'd been expecting me. "Celeste," she said. "Tea?" "Whiskey," I replied. Her living room was a reflection of her, uncluttered, curated, overstaged to hide the mess. A single framed quote sat above the fireplace: "Be the storm they fear, not the calm they forget." I sipped the whiskey. Smooth. Expensive. Exactly what I would have chosen if I were pretending to be a better version of myself. She sat across from me, legs crossed, hands perfectly folded. "You won," I said. Her brows lifted. "Oh? Is that what this was?" "Don't insult us both." She leaned forward. "You started it. Number I just refused to worship you." Natalie tilted her head. No, Celeste. You whispered poison into people's ears and called it justice. You ruined lives for sport. I smiled. And you exposed mine for revenge. Let's not pretend this is about ethics. She didn't argue, just stared at me like she was trying to memorize my unraveling. You want me to disappear? I asked. No, she said. I want people to see you, the real you. That's when it clicked. Natalie wasn't trying to destroy me. She wanted to reveal me. By Friday, the local newsletter had been updated. A new feature. A story penned anonymously. The Myth of the Perfect Wife. It chronicled the quiet harm of suburban manipulation. The women who weaponize fragility. The ones who play helpless while waging psychological war behind closed doors. The whole thing was written like a memoir with a mirror, every paragraph vaguely familiar, every reference cuttingly specific. It didn't say my name, but it didn't need to. Everyone knew. Ryan moved out that weekend. No fight, no final confrontation, just silence. He left a note. I never knew who you were. Maybe I never asked. Maybe you never told me. Either way, I don't want to know anymore. He took his gym bag, a toothbrush, that watch I gave him after our third anniversary, and left behind a quiet house that echoed every whisper I'd ever let loose. The thing about whispers? They come back. In echoes. Monday morning, I walked into the grocery store and every head turned. Not out of scandal, out of recognition. I had been exposed, but not erased. They knew what I was now, and I could feel their fear, their fascination. Even Natalie watched from the bakery aisle. Her eyes followed me. She waited for a nod. I didn't give her one, because I wasn't quiet anymore. I didn't need to whisper. I had become the scream they'd all been pretending not to hear.